seeing what God is doing. For so many years, He's told me, and now it's happening. So it's quite exciting. Pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. I would ask if Ed would put on Deuteronomy 30. How many read Deuteronomy 28 last week? We're Bible scholars. Deuteronomy 28 delineates cursings and blessings for His covenant people. But 30 says, look at what I've done for you today. This is the Lord speaking. I've placed you in front of you life and good, death and evil. I have commanded, man, that didn't make sense. I have commanded you today, love God, your God, walk in His ways, keep His commandments, regulations and rules so that you will live, really live, live exuberantly, blessed by God, your God, in the land you are about to enter and possess. But I warn you, if you have a change of heart, refuse to listen obediently and willfully, go off to serve and worship other gods, you will most certainly die. You won't last long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you. I place before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your children will live. How many believe that that's true? How many believe that is true for your life? It is true, but we don't live under that. Give us Hebrews, please. But Jesus' priestly work far surpasses what these other priests do, since He's working from a far better plan. We are not under the law, but to sum up everything that God has said with cursings and blessings is summed up in this principle. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap the flesh and death. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap the Spirit and life. Those are your choices. And today, I've been preparing you guys for this message to try to answer a couple questions that we have. Why do we exist? Why do we exist? Does anyone know why we exist? We exist for only one reason. Whether you acknowledge this or not, it is a fact. For His good pleasure and to bring Him glory. That's why we exist. You've heard us in the past talk about do everything in excellence. Do everything the best that you possibly can. But the question I want to ask you is what you're doing bringing glory to God? John 1:3 says, everything was created through Him. Nothing, no one thing came into being without Him. Everything that is because of Him, through Him. Everything that you have is because of Him and His grace that He's bestowed upon you. And what you don't have is also from Him, because you don't ask Him for it. You have not because you ask not. We are a blessed people. But being blessed is not enough. God doesn't place us on this earth to have a bless me reason for my existence. He blesses me to acknowledge and give him glory. He blesses me so that I can experience the fullness of the love that he has for me and for you. John 10:10 says, a thief is only there to steal and to kill and destroy. I came so that they would have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. We can see really clear the lines. Satan will tempt us to deviate from the course that we are called to. He will do everything that he can to sway us away from what God has for us. Jesus came to give us life in abundance. Are you experiencing the abundant life? Is God really being glorified in your life individually? Is God being glorified in everything that's happening in your family? Is God being glorified in your place of employment? And is God being glorified in your ministry? Well, I don't have a ministry, Pastor. Yes, you do. You were given the ministry of reconciliation. How are you reconciling the lost to the gospel? Ministries in the church, we have people who are serving in those capacities, and they will continue to serve until God says, I want you to do something else. The thief comes to rob, to steal, and destroy. You sow to the flesh, and all of us have sowed to the flesh. And the consequences of those decisions are real. We sow to the Spirit, those consequences are also real, but they come with benefits. One, you choose death. One, you choose life. The choice is yours. God has given us that power to do what he says to do. And as I said last week, God has rigged this life for our success. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God and become successful in everything we do. Nothing. God has rigged it. If you believe that, then you're constantly looking in your spiritual life to flow in the things of God, to be a blessing, not necessarily receive a blessing. You are a conduit of God's blessings into your life. But this doesn't just happen because I'm in relationship to God. It happens because our goal in life is to bring him glory. Now, how many of us give God glory for all that he has done for us? How many of us say we're Christians? Next scripture, please. How many of us say that me and Jesus have it all together? How many of us follow what he says? That's the earmark of a true believer and a make believer. A true believer not only hears what he says, but they follow him. They do what he says. A make believer just hears, maybe. Remember, I taught years ago about the tank. Those who are following the tank are easy pickoffs. Those who are upon the tank can be picked off, but it's a little harder because the tank is moving. But those who are in the tank, those who are in Jesus Christ, are safe. It is God's heart and desire to help us in everything that we do. Everything. He wants us that everything that we do continuously is a success. And I have to say right now, you are a success. You are. You're in Jesus Christ. But that success only comes through one thing. Us setting goals. What goals do you have for your life? What goals do you have for your family? What goals do you have in work? In your ministry? What are those goals? How are those goals working for you? And I don't mean that to sound derogatory. It's really something you should be thinking about. I know people who don't have goals for their life. But they're expecting God to do something. He will. He'll wait until you set goals. Our God is a God of order. When you bring order by just simply saying, I'm going to be disciplined with your help, God, and you attain that goal of being disciplined and give glory to God in everything, your life takes on a whole new posture. But I think what happens is a lot of us make plans, we become disciplined, but we don't give God glory. We want Him to bless our lives. We want Him to really do things that only He can perform. We set the goals before Him, and He walks with us to eventually meet those goals. And I have to say, I am impressed by you guys, because one of the goals was the signage. And we took a special offering, and through your sacrifice of giving, we have the signs. And so I glorify God in that, because He stirred your hearts to give what you could. And yet, do we glorify Him in having the ability, and we all have the ability, but we may not all give the same amount, but we all have the ability to give. Thereby, we become like our Father who is in heaven. I believe that each one of us have set goals, but we haven't really attained them. We haven't attained them for various reasons. One of those reasons is Satan has a plan against you, against me, against this church. And those of us who know the history have met resistance at every step of the way. And I'm here to declare to you that you cannot be defeated. You cannot be defeated. I can't be defeated. We can't be defeated. And this is where it comes from, me to we. We are in this together. Whether you thought about that or not, that is the truth. And God is with us. When we built this place, all of us put our favorite scriptures on the studs so that the Word of God would permeate not only the building, but the Word of God is alive and it is infusing us as we speak right now. And God promises us that His eventual goal is for us to be in heaven with Him. But not only that, when He comes back, we will be with Him also to rule and reign as kings and priests. A lot of us are being bombarded with thoughts of, why set goals? Every time I take a goal, I get slapped in the face because I just don't understand why that is. We're in a war. You need to realize that when you make a declaration, you make a goal, you will supernaturally meet resistance from attaining that goal. Satan hates you. That's why he robs, he steals, he destroys. That's why he fills your minds up with all kinds of things that are not there. And a lot of times we don't take a step of faith because we're believing the lie instead of what God says. I said to an individual one time, you got to stop telling me what you can't do. Start agreeing with God and let's start with what we can do. What is it that you can do? Let's start there. That's the starting line. What is the goal we're trying to accomplish here? Because we and Jesus are unbeatable. You have to believe that. You have to believe that because your success becomes my success. And if we merge those successes together, we compound the success. Satan says that those little victories that are producing little fruit don't really matter too much to him. That your existence here doesn't really matter. I'm here to tell you that each step of faith that you take, every goal that you're striving for, God is with you and God is working it out so that you can have success. We serve a God that can't be defeated. If we haven't in our prayers given God the glory, we can start right now. We can. And I'll give you an acronym that has helped me through the years, and maybe it'll help you. It's called BHAG. BHAG. Be exalted, O Lord. Have your way, O Lord. Accomplish your purposes, O Lord. Glorify your name, O Lord. You know, we don't work for ourselves, although it is our responsibility as fathers to take care of our families. God looks at us as the decision makers. He looks at us as the leaders. He looks at us as the providers of security and safety. He looks also at us to perform our priestly duties in the house. That is to pray for our families, pray for our kids. And God will show you what He has for your children. I remember when I started praying the Hag, God showed me that my son at the time was 8 years old. And He said that He was going to give him the power to create wealth to establish His kingdom. Deuteronomy 8:18. When my son was 16, he told me quite gloriously that he was going to be an engineer. Wasn't quite what God had said. So I went to prayer and I said, did I miss you? He said, no. Did my son miss you? He said, no. What's going to happen? I'm going to work it out in such a way that he will perform that which I've called him to do. You see, our goals are not just for here and now. Our goals is for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. We got to have vision. But what we do is because we don't have vision, we cast off restraint. We do what we think is right. We do what we want. God, don't tell me what I have to do. If you have vision, you will do like I did. God, did I miss you? See, we're in a relationship with the most powerful being in the universe. And our questions are not tough for him. As a matter of fact, he laughs at us like we laugh at our kids or grandkids or whatever. I look at my grandkids and I just say that they're funny. They make me laugh. And they do. Because all of a sudden I realize what they're going to do before they're going to do it, so I can prepare to make their life easy. But if God is just standing on the side watching you mess your life up because you don't have any goals, you don't have any direction, what's he going to do? He's going to wait and allow the circumstances to overcome you so that you cry out to him. You see, the problem isn't God. The problem is you and what is going on in your heart. And that's where he allows things to happen. If you don't have vision, you can't use BHAG. And you can't make this declaration for your personal life. Big, hairy, audacious goals. What is the big, hairy, audacious goals that you've set for your life? Yeah, you can laugh. It's funny. But it's also true. God wants you to think about something you could possibly not make happen yourself. And you put it before God. It says, submit your plans unto God, and he will bring them to pass. Think about what is the biggest thing he's trying to do in your life. And then go a step bigger. And watch what God does. We were looking for a building, if you all remember, for 5 years. And nothing. Many a time. We went and looked at buildings and stuff, and all of a sudden God spoke one day, said, come here. This is the building I'm giving you. We didn't even know it existed. And look what he has done. Now he says he's going to fill it. Not only fill it, but the real sanctuary is out in the warehouse. And what he's going to do, he's going to create seed so that we can do plants. Some of you are called to be pastors. Some of you are called to be prophets. Some of you are called to be evangelists. Some of you are called to be apostles and teachers. Some of you. Can you believe God for that? That's a big, audacious goal. Oh, God would never call me to that. He did me. He called me. Who would have thought it? Or today's vernacular, who would have think it? Every success that we reach, it's because God rigged it so. Every success that we reach, God rigged it so. If we don't attain the goals, it's because we haven't either reached it, it's unrealistic, or it's not big enough, because I can reach that goal. The goals I've attained is because He has helped me along the way. And He wants to help you along the way. Can you imagine what streams will become in a very short time? Have you even thought about it? Have you been so stuck on what you want, you haven't thought about what God wants? I'm just asking. I'm just trying to stimulate some thought. Your victory in an area is not complete. And your victory in that area isn't for someone else's victory. It's for you. Because God has a purpose for you. I don't have a choice in this. Setting goals. How do we set goals? Well, Zig Ziglar, do we know who Zig Ziglar is? We should. He says, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. It's true. If you don't have a goal, you're going to hit it. But if you have a goal, you're going to meet resistance. But God says you're going to attain that goal because He's with you. Jesus' sole goal, Ed, next scripture. Jesus' sole goal was when it came close to the time for His ascension, He gathered up His courage and steeled Himself for the journey to Jerusalem. In other words, what happened was that Jesus was so bent on fulfilling the Father's goal. What was His goal? To redeem mankind. That nothing was going to persuade or dissuade Him from accomplishing that goal. He set His face like flint to go to Jerusalem. And He fulfilled exactly what the Scriptures said. How committed are we to fulfilling the Father's goal? In our lives, in our church life, His personal goal was the conclusion of the Father's goal. His very action, everything that He did up to that time was to display and destroy, display the glory of God and destroy the works of the enemy. When He went to the cross, He died, completing the redemptive process. But when He rose from the dead, He gave us an eternal promise. That's why we gather. That's why the cross is empty. If we set His goal, the Father's goal, before us, we will stay clear of wrong motivation and selfish ambitions, which all of us have. Some at the expense of the Father's desire. You have to realize that God wants to end this. But it's up to us to make it so. Revelation says, every time the animals gave glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the age after age, the living one, the 24 elders would fall prostrate before the one seated on the throne. They would worship the age after age living one. They threw their crowns at His feet, chanting, "Oh, worthy, O Master, yes, our God, take glory, the honor, the power. You created it all. It was created because You wanted it." At the end of the age, everything that you strive for everything that we strive for, everything that He has created for us will be given back to Him. I want to emphasize two things about, this is the Message translation, but I want you to understand about the honor, glory, and power. God has given us the honor and glory, which results in the activities of our life and the things that He gives to us. We choose. That is the power to choose. We either can choose for Him or choose against Him. And we will take that choice and we will throw the crowns. Everything that we've had, everything that we've attained is nothing compared to the glory of God. We will fall prostrate. We will cast those crowns before Him and they will fall at His feet. Now casting means simply to let go without caring where it falls. We're just going to toss it. It's uncertain of the results. It's an act of faith that when we throw these crowns before His feet, He deserves all honor and glory because He's created everything. He's created us for His praise and glory. He does what He wants. We can live a life in such a way that is filled with empty goals, or we can fill it with goals that God says are good for us, that are pleasing for us, that His blessings will be upon every generation after us, which is my hope, not only for you individually, but for us collectively, that streams would not be just a flash in a pan and gone tomorrow. We are here because of God. We are here because we follow the Lamb. We are here established because of Him. And we need to honor Him. How do we do this? Two things that we need to do to take the first step, and that's all I'm going to say, is two things that we need. One is deliberately align your goals with God's for your life. It is imperative. If all you do is meet resistance at every step and you don't see God in this, you don't see how attaining this brings Him glory, then you need to set your goals, realign them to His. What is His purpose for your life? What is His purpose for the life of this church? Which is why we seek His face on Thursday nights. Two, we need to start giving all the credit to the Lord for your success. That's what glory means, is giving Him the credit. If we don't credit Him for helping us, if we don't credit Him for leading us on to a life that is filled with peace and joy and prosperity, what's our existence? If we attain the goals but we don't glorify God, give Him credit, is He part of our lives? Is that goal so small that we attain it by ourselves? Is our motivations wrong? Is our ambitions wrong? Again, we need to make that commitment once and for all. We need to be inspired by Jesus' example to us. Hey. And it should be our objective not our responsibility, our objective, to bring goals to God in such a way that ultimately brings Him glory. All this stuff is going to go. The things that we're going through is all going to go. When we stand before Him, will we be standing before Him with trepidation or anticipation? The call is yours. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Today, you have that choice. Make that commitment once and for all that everything that you do, every audacious goal that you set, watch how He helps you attain that. And He will. He'll make your life something that you never expected, to His glory. Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You that Streams was able to come together and glorify You with the gifts so that we would have signage. I thank You, God. I rejoice in You, Father. You are a good Father. You stirred the hearts of Your people and they responded. God, since it is Father's Day, I ask that You bless the fathers immensely, Lord God. You bless them with an audacious goal that You and them can bring to pass. And I pray, Father, that You receive all praise, all glory for everything. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.